I've got some genes of history here, like floating in the Fred Film Radio studio. In fact, I'm joined by Ricky Mifune. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Mifune maybe sounds pretty familiar, right, for the moviegoers? I mean, it should be. And if it's not, go and do your homework. I had the pleasure this morning to defy the competition, watch Akihige.
Red Beard, yes.
And then I also left, ran a bit. Unfortunately, I missed the ending. But I saw the beautiful documentary, Mifune, the Last Samurai.
Thank you very
did
much.
You watch it, Ricky?
Yes, I watched it this morning. Yeah.
So your turn is to tell a bit about the documentary itself and how was the conception of it.
Okay. This documentary is a first feature documentary of Toshiro Mifune, my grandfather. And he starred in about 150 Japanese films during the golden age of Japanese cinema. And this documentary by Academy director Steven Okazaki portrays Mifune's samurai films and the tradition and how the Japanese samurai film became famous and popular.
Yeah, as you rightly said, there's a beautiful kind of a concentration of the chambara, of course, the samurai period. But it just goes so much more and so beyond these limits. In fact, you learn about Mifune's history, his life, and of course the incredible intersection between Mifune's life and Kurosawa's that nobody would have even expected. Not even if you consider the filmography that they're together so much, but you would never expect they would go so deep together.
Thank you.
But you, as of course his grandson, like, how is it sometimes tough to have this burden and of the importance of having Mifune on your shoulders?
Well, yes, a lot of times living in Japan, there's a lot of pressure, but I'd like to think of it as me and him as two different people, so I try not to think of the pressure.
But you decided to be inside this world, so the film world, or?
Yes, he was a very big influence in my life, so I guess that shaped me into becoming a person in the film industry.
Okay, in fact, now I want to talk about you, Ricky Mifune here. And so tell me about your experience now in the film industries and what you're doing actually for the public.
Well, I've been acting since I was 7 years old, and I've done a lot. My first film was an international movie. It was a Hong Kong production. So that was my first movie experience. And since then, I've been doing a lot of Japanese movies and some with English-speaking roles. And right now, I'm part producer of this international documentary. So I'd like to think of myself as an international film industry guy.
That's the perfect way to survive into this world nowadays. So you're doing the right thing.
Thank you.
But I actually wanted to ask you, because you said that you've been acting since the age of 7. So I guess also you had a sort of academic preparation. You studied acting as well?
Yes, I have a little acting experience, yes.
Because something that really struck me is the complete absence of Toshiro Mifune's preparation. I thought, maybe it was ignorant of me, but I thought that he had a pass before going to the movies in theater. But instead, he just completely, he was, as the documentary says, he became the actors, he became the characters.
Well, after the Second World War, after Mifune came back to Japan, the whole country was devastated, so he needed to get a job to survive, and since his parents were running a photo studio in China, he wanted to use that experience to become a photographer. But since there are no photography positions available in a movie studio, he was passed on to the actor section, and fortunately, one thing led to another, he became an actor.
Do you think there's a level of duty then, almost, in his way of approaching acting? So, it was a gift, in a way, in that terrible and the misery of the post-war in Japan. So having something so stable made also Mifune be so, so committed to his artwork.
Yes, I think the war experience gave him a side of sensitivity. So that shows in his acting, I think. Yeah.
And I also wanted to link in the documentary, there's perseverance comes a few times. Do you think that what Mifune represents as an actor for actors like yourself. His approach nowadays is very rare, if not just done. I mean, do you think acting being so prepared nowadays, you know, you study several years to become an actor, that sort of level, that approach to acting is completely lost? Or you think that still you can find it nowadays?
Well, I understand the importance of approaching and studying acting, but in his case, I think since he was just in movies to make a living, he was a perfectionist, so he had his own approach, and rather than studying, I think he put in effort and how to become a certain different person. Yeah. I think he had his own approach.
And this also kind of enhances already the huge heroic aura that is around Toshiro Mifune, because it's kind of unique, if not impossible to replicate. But you, as part of course, the production here, as a producer for the documentary, I also wanted to ask you how you interacted with Steven on the film. So what was the main objective of... Because Mifune, as you said, you know, is still in Japan, like it's a household name, in Europe, in America as well. So what was the real objective of this film? What did you want to kind of put into shedding a light on?
Well, I think that since he was the first international actor in Japan, I think it was very important to put a spotlight on him right now. And I think that Steven had a lot of respect for Mifune too, so it was very easy to work with him, and also he would allow me to do the interviews for the actors who were in Mifune's films, so it gave me a lot of learning experience as well.
No, I bet. But what did you learn? Now I want to ask, actually, especially from the people such as, you know, Kyoko Kagawa. Mm-hmm. So just seeing it again is such a beautiful kind of thing. But you also talk to them, so I bet you learned a lot.
Well, while asking those questions, I could see the emotions from the actors when they talk about Mifune, and I could see how happy they looked when they were talking about the old golden cinema age days. So it was very interesting to see the people talk about their past. Mm-hmm. Very happy times.
You know, in this age where kind of there's almost a need to create new waves in cinema, you know, every 2-3 years you see a country that actually makes 5-7 features and you know, they're really good, and automatically there's a new wave there. For the countries that also made history, such as Japan in the 50s and 60s, do you think it's possible to have a new wave?
Yeah, hopefully, yes. Since Japanese cinema, we don't see many movies as much as before in European film festivals and other film festivals around the world. So I think it is important for Japan to keep producing films that would be happy for people around the world.
And to conclude, of course, here you're busy with Toshiro Mifune and Last Samurai, but like, what are your main projects coming up now?
Well, right now we're planning different movies as well, but regarding the Mifune name, we are also trying to produce a Mifune Museum in Japan for 2018. Before the Tokyo Olympics, so
fantastic.
I think that's something to look forward to.
So, okay, 2018 is going to be in my calendar. I want to be invited to the opening of the museum.
Of course.
And, of course, the Olympics. Man of your word?
Yes.
Good.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.